Hey, everybody. Fantastic show this morning. Coming back from the long weekend, the topic of conversation for the majority of the show was, of course, Utes. Last night, Utes dropped after several delays. It did go live. A lot of people are actually still at the time of this recording having trouble minting. But regardless, it's got the most volume on Solana right now. It's actually the most volume in the NFT space in the past week. And we discuss the funding round announcement that Utes also put out, or Dust Labs, their parent company, actually put out, and all the actions surrounding Utes. We also talk about 10KTF. We talk about some other isolated wins in the NFT space, like Genuine Undead, and just the stories of the space. This particular show was sponsored by WGMI.io, which is an NFT software platform that specializes in market and portfolio monitoring. They're rolling out a new news function that will keep you abreast of what's going on with all of your NFT collections. So great, great sponsor, great, great show. Hope you enjoy it. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday, September 6th, and we are back for the NFT morning show. It was a long weekend, but you know we are here now to discuss all things NFT market. A lot of stuff to talk about today. It was a very active night last night in the NFT market. And looking at the stage, though, you would have thought it was a big Moonbirds event. What do we got? 5-6 Moonbirds on stage? What's going on with that? But anyway, this show is the NFT market and trade talk show, where we talk all things NFT space, the stories of the space, market discussion regarding what projects are going up, what projects are going down, and what opportunities or mistakes are present in the market right now. I'm Pio, here with my co-host Nifty Nick, the owner of a CryptoPunk and a Bored Ape, so everybody should bow down to him. Signal, the author of the best newsletter in the NFT space. You can sign up for it at thenifty.com. King Kicks, the CEO of Crypto Raiders, a gaming NFT company, and a co-founder in the Nifty, so shout out to him. Nucci, the best West Coast podcaster in the NFT space. Node, the host of Node Mode, the art-focused NFT podcast. Quad, a Moonbird and a big fanny pack guy. Cryptopolis, the free mint king. And of course, our boys from today's sponsor, WGMI.io, which is the first and most accurate and customizable NFT portfolio tracker. If you retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow WGMI.io, you will have a chance to win one of five NFTs that they're giving away today. And that's going to give you access to their software product, to their market monitoring tool. If you're the type of person that can't be fully glued to every single Discord for every single notable NFT collection all day long, then this is the product for you. My guy Schwaz, shout out to Schwaz, he's probably not awake yet. He actually put me onto the product a long time ago. I think he's been a user for like 3 or 4 months. And Schwaz, God knows, has done a lot better than I have trading NFTs in this space. So you should listen to him, not to me. So this show runs for 90 minutes. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. I'm excited to get into it. We had a big weekend in NFTs for the first time in a long time. A lot of delays on the Ute mint, and apparently, a lot of people are still having technical issues with it, so we'll have to dive into that. But before I go any further, Kix, how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Doing great, doing great.
Sorry, video. I wasn't ready. You always go to Nick.
There he is. There
you always go to Nick. I'm over here scrambling. My phone fell out of my hands trying to hit the unmute button.
You know what he's just doing, Kix?
He's just fucking with you now. He's just coming in. He's like, I'm going to drop a bomb in your lap. You're about to get screwed over. Who's going to get it? Who's prepared? Oh, you weren't prepared this morning? Deduct some points from that motherfucker.
Exactly. You know? It's like in school where like the teacher will like call on the people she thinks is not, or he thinks is not paying attention. You know what I mean? Like to try to catch him out. But then well, you like
that
actually
was always
know. Yeah, that was always
like,
you.
But
you
that always was what I was trying to say. But good luck me trying to talk over Kix and Nick this morning. Man, it's a tough
Well, the other day, Node, you were speaking Spanish, and that was pretty cool. We didn't know that you had that in your skill set. Latino Node is definitely an interesting version of Node. Latin Node, if you will.
You ever seen the movie Sicario con Benicio del Toro?
Yeah, I've seen that movie before. Yes,
Let's just say they consulted me heavily on that project. I'll leave it at that.
As the Spanish, they got you as the Spanish language consultant. They couldn't get somebody that's actually from Mexico.
Bro, as the Sicario consultant, dude, about the story, dog, my past, my history.
Oh, okay.
Well, they actually shot some of the desert scenes in Utah, and there's about five people in Utah that speak Spanish, and Node's four of them.
Dude, there's probably 200K to 400K people here that speak Spanish, FYI.
Thank you. Okay, Node, got it. So that actually proves that they didn't need you. Signal, you unmuted.
Yeah, I'm starting to get the vibe that, you know, we call him Spicy Node. I'm thinking, are you really like Walter White? And like, that's the spicy side that we're seeing on the show? Because you're giving me the Breaking Bad vibes with the whole Sicario.
Yeah, why do you think I live in Utah? I'm in witness protection up here. You know, I gotta be careful.
Witness protection, Node. Nick, you have your hand raised. I feel like, you know, Easy Eats Bodega's Solana Space.
I've had enough of this nonsense. I've assumed the body of a punk. And it's just fully me at this point. Just screw everybody.
Okay? Just screw the corporations. Just down with the corporate overlords. I've had enough of this nonsense. And I've just been, you know, being a punk for the past couple of weeks, just causing some trouble. And I've had enough. Okay? A lot of people are like, oh, Nick's not punk enough. I'm the punkest punk. Okay, punk? Sorry, I just thought you should know that.
Wow, that was really something. I love seeing you really, you know, come into your own when it comes to being a punk and just really owning that. And yeah, I mean, look, you're respecting the hand. You did a solo show last night where you just, you know, kind of, you know, rocked the mic by yourself. How did you feel after that one, Nick?
Pretty good, because I didn't have to deal with literally anybody else on stage. So I highly recommend it. If you're tired of sharing the stage with other people, I get it. You know, sometimes we're just sitting there being like, oh, I got to wait for this guy to like express his opinion on the world when I don't really care. And so what I do then is I just say, screw those people. I'm no longer listening to them. It's now just me. So that's what that was. I got tired of it. You know, that's what happened. And so I'm going to do more of those at random intervals and just show up and start talking by myself. You know, that's how I think I'll operate moving forward, because I got to deal with some of these other people that are on stage, and I've just had enough of it. Okay. Like, oh, there's P.O. again talking. Who's going to come next? Oh, there's Kix, the king himself. Let me bend the knee. You know, let me just bend the knee over here for the king walking through.
Are you mocking our own show and specifically your bits on the show?
Maybe. I don't know. You know, I'm just saying, you know, sometimes you get tired of it. You ever go and call the boss up? Well, you don't call the boss. You schedule in a meeting because you're a grown adult and you have access to Google Calendar. If you call the boss, then that's offensive. You just go and schedule a time on their meeting or on their calendar. And then you go sit down with them and you say, excuse me, boss, I've had enough. Okay. You stop telling me what to do. I've been working my face off and I'm not getting the recognition that I deserve. Because I'm in here every day and no one's saying, I don't walk in and no one's saying, oh, here's Nick. Good morning. That's Nick. He's our savior of this office. Please, everyone. And then everyone bends down. I'm not getting that every morning. And I feel like that's what I deserve when I walk in. So if no one's going to give it to me, I'm going to stand up in the middle of the office and I'm just going to start a monologue. Okay. And that's how I'm moving. And that's some punk shit. Okay. That's some real punk talk. Okay, so I just want people to recognize that. Anyway, sorry, I apologize for absorbing this, but...
So for everyone's context, too, I think where this is coming from is a few... Like last week when I had dinner with Nick and P.O., I told them that there was higher engagement if you used a punk on your Twitter profile. And so I think that Nick has taken this to be that he needs to be more punk on Twitter. And I'm not sure that that's really how that works, Nick.
I was going to say, Spencer, really is this did come from you. You literally just made one offhanded comment that was like, yeah, you should try using the punk. You might get better engagement. And now we got fucking Joey Ramone up here. Nick, I don't know.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Like, put some like controversial bumper stickers on his e-bike?
Oh, zing, probably. I felt like I was the source. Yesterday, when I did that one-off show, someone responded and was like, I listened to the entirety of that dude and Nifty Nick's show. And let me tell you, I lost a lot of brain cells listening to it. And I'm like, so why didn't you just change the channel? I don't understand. Like, you didn't enjoy that.
It's the train wreck thing, man.
And then he was like, listen up, Doodles. Nick compared Doodles to ISIS. And that ain't cool. And I saw D's like that. And I'm like, what, where is this coming? I was like, I made a bad joke. The joke didn't land well, even on myself. But I was just like, you know, rolling with it. Yeah, here I am. And I'm just going to say that was a punk move, you know?
I mean, dude, you're over here. Like, am I rocking with somebody that's from like a Silicon Valley startup, or am I literally rocking with somebody that was one of the original founders of the Sex Pistols? It's hard to tell these days, but I'm just picturing them with those tweets like, he compared the Doodles to ISIS and stuff. D's is like that. They're just building a case against you, man. There's like 10, 12 people in the NFT space.
Dude, the court of law of public opinion is about to rule against your boy here, and it's gonna be like, yo, that guy over the past week, we got to do something about this guy. He's gotten a little too punk. Even the crypto punks are a little bit concerned about this guy because he doesn't represent us, but he does seem like he has a loud and an obnoxious voice. So what are we gonna do about this situation, people?
Yeah, the crypto Illuminati at this point, they're just moderately annoyed by you. So they're building up a nice case, and then they're going to have a very, very well-produced video. Like, the video is going to have very high production value, and it's going to be like, you know, with some catchy music and one of those good narrators. And they're just going to, you know, build this case against controversial figure Nifty Nick, and they're going to have so many quotes. Oh, my God, the quotes from you are going to be the best. Nucci, go ahead.
Are you saying Ryder Rips is going to produce a documentary about NFT Nick?
I think one of his competitors will. He seems busy. He's got, well, actually, he'll handle the racist section about why Nick is just horribly, horribly racist.
Yeah, how funny would it be if, like, part of the video, like, they hired a PI just to, like, film him New York City, and it's, like, him throwing his bagel wrapper on the ground and, like, running a red light with his e-bike. Like,
oh, yeah.
What the hell is a bagel wrapper? But, yes, you'll definitely get me running a red light with the e-bike. I think that would be... That'd be hilarious. Yeah, that would be excellent. I'd like to see a video of that.
That, Nick, was how you were basically talking to yourself, and you told a joke, and you were like, wait, no, sorry, that joke kind of sucked. Once I said it out loud, I realized how bad it was.
I just want to apologize to myself, but then I also want to pump myself up and just say, hey, man, you're doing a great job. That was the key. But I don't know, a total aside, what is a bagel wrapper? Like,
you get the wrapper that the bagel's in, like the white. I mean, you live in New York, dude. Come on. Well, Nick, actually, we have a bagel.
They just hand it to him, and he takes a bite right from their hand.
Like, the cream cheese, like, oozes into the palm of his hand and just licks it off because there's no bagel wrapper on it.
you're making it sound like it's one of those, like, bags that you would get a muffin in or something like that.
Ever since Nick got his punk, the bagel people have just been, you know, giving him a lounge chair to lounge in and feeding him the bagels fresh from the vine, you know?
They just toss it over the counter to him. They're like, catch, you know what I mean? It is like,
basically has
open bagel.
Cheese on his mouth at all times.
Well, where me and Nick live, it's actually, we got gypped pretty good in this regard.
It's like a food desert out in this neighborhood.
And specifically a bagel desert. In fact, the only bagel place is literally, and this is not a joke, it's called P.O. Bagel. So it's my name followed by the word bagel. And it's awful.
It's just awful, you know? Do you think someone named P.O. can make a bagel? Sorry.
Apparently not. This guy P.O. is not representing for the bagel fans. They're bagels with a Latin twist. I would say that tagline is incorrect. They're just lousy bagels.
Who made bagels with a Latin twist? I don't understand. They were like, you know, we've had enough of the bagel situation here in New York. We got to make a change.
Yeah,
is some South American, like an empanada twist on it or something.
I don't know. Some South American guy named Pio's just like, you know, butchering my name in the bagel community right now. And if you want a decent bagel, you have to go over to Cobble Hill, take a city bike over there, and there's like a long line, and you can't bring your dog into the store. So it's like it's not a great bagel situation over here.
Node has been expanding his Latino consulting into the New York bagel industry.
Node is the culprit behind P.O. Bagel. All right. Well, we're 22 minutes into the show talking bagels, talking Brooklyn. Why don't we talk weather? I got to throw to my guy, King Kicks. It's his day for the weather report. Kixie, take it away.
You got it, sir. And just in case everybody didn't know, I'm really like Ron Burgundy over here. I'm just reading off of a teleprompter. So, you know, anything controversial I say is not on me. Today is Tuesday, the 6th of November, coming off of Labor Day weekend in the United States and also, I found out, in Canada. So I hope you had fun, our compadres up north. The volume on OpenSea was $12 million. That's not great. When we look over to some of the leaders in NFTs at their floor prices, Apes, 76, you know, Mutants, 13, not so great. Punks, 64, okay. Moonbirds in the 11 range, ugh, hurting a little bit inside right now. Doodles at 7, Clonex at 6, so not a lot of movement, a little bit of a pullback in the top projects in the NFT space. We got the Yeats leading OpenSea ranks. After several delays, the mint finally happened. Secondary, last we checked, was at 145 SOL. It's ranging. I think it bottomed out maybe around 110. Volume a little slow. I think people are just trying to figure out where the price settles, but very strong floor price out of the gate. It's a little early in the morning. I can't do the math on that SOL to ETH ratio, but someone else out there can do it. And we can talk about it on the show. Team announced that they've raised a strategic round of $7 million to build out the Dust ecosystem. Ask me anything with Frank D. Gods and Kevin D. Gods on Thursday, September 8th. So that's some exciting news. Got a good amount of funding to build out that Dust. CloneX teased their inventory app. But it's spelt without vowels. If you're in the CloneX community, you will understand that. Their next-gen artifact experience to customize drip with NFT wearables and create content for CloneX. Easter eggs for this included leveling up clones. Interesting. As well as sneaker stats. Floor on clones holding at 6 ETH. So, I mean, CloneX is, you know, forging ahead into this, you know, digital clothing, physical clothing brand. Really exciting to see. Jenkins the Valet is up in volume after a writer's room token, Wagme Yacht, sold for 47 ETH, pretty close to $80,000. I have no clue what that is, but I do know what a yacht is. And I do know we are all going to make it. So 47 ETH for that. Huge for the Jenkins the Vault community. Last but not least, Genuine Undead. We got someone up on stage, good old Cryptopolis, with the Genuine Undead. Previously, a free mint saw a surge in volume and a jump in floor price. Sales were flying in with over 750 sales on secondary. Floor is back up above 0.2 ETH. Last we checked, it was 0.24 ETH. So that's really impressive. This Freedom Mint project is having some real ability to sustain, which is pretty rare. So there may be something good going on there. So make sure you don't lose your sight on Genuine Undead. I'm like, dang, man, I should have bought that. That was a good move right there. Over in the crypto worlds, we got BTC, Bitcoin at 20K, ETH on a big run up to 1,660-something, and maybe running past that. It's up 6% in the past 24 hours. We, of course, have the merge on the horizon, people getting back from Labor Day and maybe deciding to scoop up some more ETH. But yeah, that's it for the weather report. So we got lots of topics to talk about. Back to you in the studio.
Fantastic weather report, as usual. Just to add, had some stories from Signal's newsletter. OpenSea debuted their Minter token. So according to OpenSea Twitter, this will be unlike any other quote-unquote drop before, and one that celebrates the community builders, visionaries, and superfans. So definitely want to dig into that, figure out what the story is there. Speaking of Utes and speaking of D-Gods, Frank, one of the founders of D-Gods and the public voice of the organization, was on Kevin Rose's podcast. So that's a juicy one. Actor Bill Murray, we talked about this last week, ended up losing $185,000 worth of Ethereum a mere hours after raising charity funds in an NFT auction that was launched on Coinbase NFT. And last but not least, Alexander Taub, friend of the show and the founder of Goblin Town and Illuminati NFT, wrote an in-depth thread on what he thinks the next few months of Web3, NFTs, and the metaverse will look like. He believes some of the best companies are being built right now, and a token airdrop from an entity like MetaMask or OpenSea would restart this market. I think that that's a good, or at least a solid take for sure. excuse me. Letting Easy back on stage now. Reminder to everybody that today's show is sponsored by WGMI.io, which is basically, from what I could tell, the number one market monitoring software tool in the NFT space. It was put onto me months ago by my guy Schwaz, as I mentioned. Schwaz doesn't know that I'm just literally attaching his name to this sponsorship, but you know, he's the first guy that told me about it. So sorry, Schwaz. If you retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow WGMI.io on Twitter, the link is in that tweet. And you'll have a chance to win one of five of these NFTs that give you access to the software. So definitely, definitely, definitely do that. So look, we got a lot to talk about. I want to talk about that funding round from the Dust Labs organization. So this is the parent company, the Yuga Labs, if you will, for D-Gods and Utes. The $7 million funding round with FTX in the round, to me, was very interesting and positive news. The only way to me it could have been more positive would have been if A16Z was in the round. However, it seemed as though many people on the Solana side were very, very disappointed by it. They felt that they were expecting a bigger round and that they were expecting A16Z. I was a little bit confused, but I was just kind of like, you know, how high are your expectations? And $7 million is a legit amount. Kix, I believe you raised $5 million for your crypto gaming company. Like these guys don't need more than $7 million right now. Am I wrong about that? Am I totally out to lunch on that take?
No, I think you're right here. And yeah, so it sounds like it's a token sale. Yeah, and I think considering the market that we're in, that's a very good raise. Because I think a lot of VCs and stuff like that out there are less interested in tokens right now and maybe leaning more equity. So yeah, I think it's a really strong raise for them. And they may have only given away like 5%, which would value them at like 140 million, the token at 140 million or something like that. So yeah, I think it's good. I mean, and I think it makes sense that they're focusing more on aligning with VCs in the Solana ecosystem, right? So like raising from FTX makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it sounded like all good news to me. And then the market was like, nah, fuck this. Nifty Nick, what's going on?
Well, two things. The first is with that funding round, the amount, it was half equity, half token sale. But the thing that's like key with that, that we discussed yesterday, was the fact that this is not actually funding for D-Gods or Utes or anything associated with that. Instead,
none of the IP.
Yeah, so there's a token component of it, which does give the investors access to it, but that's the majority of it. So it's 50-50 tokens, the other 50% equity, and that appears to be in a B2B SaaS business. Now, one of the theories right now is that B2B SaaS business, the foundation of it is the Ute list that they just deployed. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people that are building various tools. There's actually a huge potential, though, on that side. And so we've seen, I keep blanking on the name of the one that the Roboto's team launched. It starts with a B. But the bottom line is, they built a system where you can launch your own NFT. And I think that there's a few other products like that, but on the Solana side, I'm not familiar with one. So they could probably launch something like that. And Bueno, as Sarah posted in the Discord. So Bueno is pretty solid, but that's on the Ethereum side. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them launch something on the Solana side. And that's what they're raising funding for in this case. So I think that's the situation there. I'll be interested to see how this plays out. But the other story which was brought up, which I'm interested about, is the Genuine Undead, and just really emphasize how big of a loss that is for us, or a miss, because it had surged to 0.3, dropped down to like 0.08, and now it's back at 0.25, which is pretty impressive. You could have made like 300% on that trade. So definitely disappointed in that one.
Well, definitely. We got Cryptopolis on stage. We'll talk to him about it. We'll talk to him about the free mint situation, the lower end of the market. I do want to, I mean, look, the story of the space right now is Utes. So Nucci has his hand raised. I want to throw to Nucci. Then I want to actually get Spencer's take on the funding round for sure, like sort of like the institutional side of it. Before I throw to Nucci, you know, Pablo Stanley's software product's called Bueno. Did he have to consult Node on, you know, how to say the word good in Spanish? Is that how it worked to be able to figure that out? Like, Node, were you involved in the naming of that software product at all?
No, dude, you misunderstand. I'm not saying I'm good at Spanish. I'm just saying I lived on the border for a few years and don't mess with me.
Okay, all right. Nucci, West Coast Podcast, what's going on?
Yo, so I'm just thinking about this Dust token, and I'm curious if anyone on stage has any thoughts on this. It seems like the token was fairly distributed in the sense that the only way to get it was if you had a D-God or a dead god. It wasn't like a traditional token where the founders have this huge stash that they get and their investors get for pennies on the dollar. And in this situation, it's interesting because someone was saying, why are they doing the Utes in Dust? Why not do it in Solana where they could actually raise money? And one of the theories was that because they don't have any Dust as like an organization. I don't know if this is true or not. I'm curious if anyone knows more than I do on this. But it's also to say that go ahead.
I was just going to say the team didn't receive an allocation at the start. They haven't sold any of it. They've never sold any of that position as far as they've said. The only way to get Dust, you are correct, is from staking a dead god. And there was a variety of other ways that they have gotten Dust into a DAO treasury, which was used for this round, is my belief. They had a DAO pool allocation to reserve whitelist spots or allowlist spots for Utes as well. That was somewhat gamified. So I believe that the intent was to raise all of that Dust for this VC round. Yeah, and then, I mean, the bigger thing, too, is, like, with D-Gods, their goal's always been to return value to the holders. So that was the big take there, was, like, they wanted to do a Dust-only mint so that people who believed the company and the product were able to mint and have, like, immediate value add.
You sound sharp as a tack, Easy, but it does sound like you're in the Dust mines. It sounds like you're mining. I mean, the past 24 hours, I can only imagine how rough it's been. Are you covered in Dust right now? Or are you just in the Dust mines, you know, fighting the good fight?
Yeah, I started smoking it.
Nucci, did you have any other thoughts on that before I throw to the Spence man?
No, I think that's good on from the Dust side. On like on the youth side, I think it's still interesting that only 40% are minted at this point. So I think there could be, I don't know, maybe people are waiting to wake up and see if the mint works yesterday. I know I had to hit the button like 600 times to get it to go through. I also think like the delay in the mint kind of screwed them because they were riding this Utelist thing. And it was kind of a situation where like everyone online was just kissing their ass because like it was the only way to get on the list, right? And then as soon as like the Utelist closed and there was a 24-hour delay, like people's true color showed. And like, I feel like there's been a bit like things got a bit more divisive as soon as the list closed and people could finally say what they were thinking about it when they knew they weren't on the list. But it's still interesting to watch. D-Gods are down about 25% the floor, and it'll be interesting to see how things shake out as the remaining half the supply comes out.
I'll tell you what, I just minted my tube, and I just had a phenomenal experience because I just minted something for, what's the floor price on those right now?
142 SOL.
Yeah, so I just minted something for 26 SOL that's worth 142. This is the easiest button click of my life. So I just clicked that button. And it just pulled it out of the arcade. It was cute.
Yeah.
So are you going to just sell it right away because that's what you do?
I don't know, dude. I'm going long, dude. I'm going long.
Well, it should be. So what we are talking about, though, is that there were technical issues with the Mint. And I mean, for me, I had to.
Bro, I paid two ETH for gas on my other deets, dude. Like, I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, I slept easy tonight. I was like, I'm going to wake up and like mint this tomorrow. I don't need to mint mine the first 37 seconds. You know what I mean? I'm an old man. You know, I got my coffee. You know, I walked over, got the mint in, stress free.
Absolutely. I'm going to throw to Benjamin in a second. I just wanted to say real quick, dude, the Genuine Undead community is hilarious. You say the name of the collection on the show, and some guy, Pixel Buddy Jam, just tweeted, well, Genuine Undead was just featured on the morning show talk under Weather Report as a all caps high buy potential NFT. I don't remember that. I don't remember Signal being like it's a high buy right now.
Wait, No. It is not a high buy. I did not write high buy.
Yeah. Like, I love Genuine Dead's like, hey, well, ladies and gentlemen, if you weren't tuned in, basically they're saying on the morning show that the only thing you should buy right now is Genuine Undead. So you probably want to get it going. Take it easy, Genuine Undead community. We got Cryptopolis up here. We'll talk to him after, but come on. Ben, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think one of the things that the team really needs to focus on right now is not just like FUD or whatever. People are past that and able to mint. But I think one of the bigger oversights is not giving a way for people to check if the gods have claimed a Ute or not. And so I think there's going to be some undercutting there as people try to figure it out on like Magic Eden and other sites. We've already seen people buying to try and mint, realizing it was already claimed and then flooring it. So I think if the gods have a little bit of trouble in the short term with floor price, then Utes might as well, just because people will probably expect some kind of ratio from the gods down to Utes. So if they're having a little bit of trouble with that, I think Utes will indirectly have some trouble as well. But that's something that I think that they should make a top priority.
Good analysis from a very experienced market participant. I think I'm on the same page as Ben. Spencer?
Yeah, not to throw it too far back, but I wanted to comment a little bit on the venture round, as we'd said. So, like, one thing that I think was interesting about the venture round is expectations, right? And so I think a lot of people were like, oh my goodness, this is the biggest thing on Sol. Like, this is the biggest thing in the market right now. Like, therefore, it should be somewhere around what we've seen with other really big products, and the narrative of like, oh, this is the next Bored Ape Yacht Club. And like that narrative felt very violated by doing a $7 million round. And I agree with you guys that like a $7 million round is great. It's really good. But I see where the community is coming from in the sense of like, we're used to like 20, $50 million rounds. Like Moonbirds announced a $50 million round and it didn't move the needle, led by Andreessen, and like their floor is down like 40% since they've announced that. Like that, and that's how high the bar is in this industry for what things are announced. And like, it's the biggest thing on Solana, but like people wanted the biggest thing on Solana to be bigger than a $7 million round. Like the bull case for Solana is not that like the biggest protocol as an L2 on it can raise only 7 million, right? Whereas we see L2s on Ethereum raising hugely more money. And the specifically the number that I think is key here is the ratio of the amount that they raised to the market cap of their NFT felt pretty off, right? So if they're, you know, flipping Mutant Ape Yacht Club with D-Gods, etc. Now, as you point out, like this is not D-Gods itself raising, but still it felt a little strange, I will say. I also like, from the pure mint perspective, was pretty unhappy that they decided to try and start their mint on Labor Day weekend. Like that just felt like the clearest miss I've ever seen from a project. Like that's just such an unforced error. And then I guess good news is that they actually mint, you can still mint after Labor Day weekend because they screwed it up. But like, why would you make such an unforced error of had, like, it just feels disrespectful to people's time and like their personal lives to do a really hyped mint that you announce like very late, like on Labor Day weekend. Like, why would you do that? It felt strange to me.
Okay. I mean, hey, fair take. I want to hear from Easy. But Nifty Nick, go ahead on the venture. Like, I'm curious to hear what you have to say about this. Go ahead.
I'm not as bearish on it. I think the bigger thing was more so like, I can't imagine, and I said this on one of the shows, one of the four shows I participated in yesterday. I don't remember which one at this point, but there was a, I think it was Easy's show, where we were discussing what that conversation must have been like. I don't care that it happened on Labor Day weekend personally, but that's also because I have no life. When it comes to the investment side of things, I can't imagine what that sort of conversation looked like, where they went into the investors and the investors are like, okay, so you have this $100 million business over there. And Frank's like, yeah, I want you to ignore that for a moment. Like, only look at that over there and think, wow, they're really good at execution. Okay, you got that in your mind? Excellent. Now we're going to go launch a completely different business and you get no equity in the original thing, which is still a private company and worth $100 million. And they say, I got to think about this one. And I think when you talk about like, I mean, this is like a common thing. I don't know if anyone's watched Shark Tank, which is not a standard format for venture investing, but there's some patterns that exist on that show, which I do think actually play out in that space, which is there's always entrepreneurs that come up and they're like, I have this business. And they're like, okay, great. And then the entrepreneur starts talking about a completely unrelated product. And they're like, what? Sorry, I'm confused. Explain this to me again. Do I get part of that other business that you have? And the entrepreneur is like, no, you don't. And the investor's just pissed off, right? Because you came in with this private company, this beautiful company that you've spent months or years building, and I'm not getting any of it. And the only way that these investors get access to it is via this token. So that to me is something where it's like, it almost shouldn't have been announced to a certain degree, because the problem is the people who are purchasing NFTs, not the token, it's completely unrelated. It should have not even been on the same night, frankly, in my opinion. The only reason that they brought this was in the hopes that that announcement would drive more demand for the token itself, which just doesn't seem relevant to me. Instead, they should have just focused on the fact of here's what you get with Utes, and here's what D-Gods get with Utes, and just let the market play out, and then wait a week or something like that until the reveal, until you can claim your Ute, all of the action that goes on there, and then make another announcement associated with it. And I think the conflation of those two things is really an error. The only maybe argument for that is to kind of appease some investors who want to be in on the action per se, where they want to feel like they're part of this broader movement. And that's one of more narrative spinning than anything else. So I can't imagine what that conversation is like. And it's also just a complex thing for such a new business to have multiple entities that's part of it, where they're now selling this other component. It feels, I don't know, that's the only thing that I think feels kind of weird. And I can't imagine being the investors in that thing. I mean, everyone also talks about the Y Combinator aspect and why that should have made them worth more.
That's Manny's favorite pitch. I mention that he went to Y Combinator?
Like 95% of YC companies fail. So I'm making up a stat here, but the bottom line is a large number of them fail. That's kind of the purpose of how those systems are structured. Now a lot of them get access to more capital, so it takes longer for them to die. But generally speaking, yeah, that's the hardest accelerator to get into. Or I don't know if it's accelerator.
It's an accelerator, yeah.
But outside of that, I mean, that's not indicative of anything else, other than the fact that like it's clear that they're viewed as a team that has massive execution potential, and they clearly do, which they've done with D-Gods and Utes. But yeah, anyways, that's my summary.
Hey, fair. So Easy said he forgot what he was going to say, but it seems that he's remembered.
I remembered.
Okay, go ahead.
I was back probably an hour ago at this point to what Spencer was saying right before Nick, where Spencer was talking about the raise. So, I mean, like, the bigger thing with me and what I kind of realized with it was, are like, the 7 mil at first, I was disappointed in it. But I guess, like, would you give 7 million to a SaaS company that doesn't have a product yet? So I think that itself is, like, the most impressive thing here is that, like, they've been able to build this reputation off of D-Gods and Dead Gods for a SaaS company that doesn't have a product yet and still raise $7 million in undisclosed valuation.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, the past 24 hours has been a learning experience because I saw that announcement. Like, people were like, there was an announcement. I was like, all right, cool. What's the announcement? And they showed the raise, and I was like, damn, that's pretty good. And then everybody was like, yo, that sucked. And I was like, what? Like, do I not understand what's good anymore? You know, so it's been a learning experience for me to see, like, what the expectations of the NFT market can kind of look like. The way I look at this is just like a really smart move where they didn't give up that much equity in the business. They're positioning to basically be a Web3 software as a service platform, which
and Pio, they also may have carved this out just like, you know, how they position it as like the Dust ecosystem, right? So they may not have given any of their NFT business away. You know what I mean?
That's a fact. I think that's a fact. So they're over here saying, no, you don't even like we're keeping the IP of the NFT business, but we're going to build this fucking kick-ass software as a service Web3 company. I don't know. It sounded all good to me. We'll see what happens. One thing I will ask Easy, this is a technical, you know, this is a market show and the market is live right now on the secondary for Utes. It looks like if I refresh Magic Eden, we're at 145 Sol floor on Utes. Do we know how many Utes have been minted at this point? Because there were so many there were a lot of technical issues.
Like 6,000, give or take.
That's all? Actually,
yeah, you can look at the contract. There's about 6,000. But the other thing you have to consider here is that dead gods don't have to mint. Like, they have 48 hours before the Dust price increases. So, like, I even tweeted late last night that I'm looking at the market on, let's say, Tuesday, tomorrow, once we get past the allow list, which goes live in 8 hours, give or take, and then Dead God's price action starts increasing for their minted U. So there's, like, a bunch of different ways that this is going to, like, kind of play out here. I'm also curious to see if we actually do get reveal on Friday, because that plays into it too. And Manny just said, yeah, 6,432 have been minted so far. So we're not even 50% of the way through. Yeah, I'm not touching this right now, but I know some people last night who were sweeping double digits of these at 150.
Wow. Well, shit. I mean, wow. That's either going to be a genius move or a big time get wrecked move. I mean, when I think about 6,000 out of 15,000 being minted, that is a scary thought to touch that on the secondary, in my opinion. I'm going to throw it to Nucci in a second, but Signal?
Yeah, no, there's actually a really interesting tweet that's just come through from NFT Statistics talking about the Ute, and they're saying that the set has done 3,300 of ETH in ETH volume. I'm just going to do ETH. So 3,300 ETH of volume in the past 12 hours on Magic Eden, and that is more than any other NFT on OpenSea has done this entire week. And the kicker is only 13% have been minted. And so we've got this floor price, which is trading around 5 times price of mint with a lot more supply to come. So there's going to be a ton more swing action on this collection when you hear those numbers.
It's going to be volatile as hell. Reminder, ladies and gentlemen, today's show is sponsored by WGMI.io, a leading market monitoring software tool. So we're going to be learning all about that later in the show. If you retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow WGMI.io, you'll be entered for a chance to win one of the 5 NFTs that they're giving away that give you access to that software product. Nucci, you got your hand raised. What's going on?
Well, first, quick note on WGMI.io. Love their product, not just because they were my show's first sponsor, but they're legitimately amazing. But I remember I have like 9 wallets, and the first time I put in all 9 wallets into their site and then it calculated everything for me was like a mind-blowing moment for me. So huge fan of them, but wanted to roll it back really quickly to you know, DGods as a software platform. I saw that they were going to be releasing the Ute list, like basically a software for other projects to use, and I kind of curious to the stage, do you guys think that's something that other projects will begin using or will want to use? Because it seemed like something that at first everyone was like, this is genius. And I was kind of saying this earlier, and like now it kind of seems like it's kind of divided the community, a lot of communities, and people are like, oh, this is the same thing we had earlier with, you know, grinding for whitelists and pretending to be in love with the project. Do you guys see this as something that will become a new kind of meta within the space?
Easy. Maybe? No? Ben?
Sorry, my mic was, like, not working. I was actually having this conversation a couple of days ago with a friend of mine running a project, asking if this is an approach that they should take. And I put out a thread a few weeks ago saying that I think that it could potentially become a new meta for the way that people approach it just because of the visibility that and attention that's been garnered from it. But I think something that's important to realize is that the reason this process was so, I guess, maybe not necessary, but so popular is that there was a supreme demand already. Like, people couldn't afford the gods for the most part, similar to how people were trying to get into the Yuga ecosystem, but really couldn't afford it until Mutants came out. So this was a way for people to get, you know, a big return from a high demand project by filling out this application. And the Utes team was able to collect a huge database of, you know, industry people, what they do, what they're working on, what their accomplishments are. So it was really good for them. But from a project that, you know, is just trying to decide between using a pre-mint whitelisting system or this, you know, custom built application process, has to understand that you're adding another layer of friction to a mint process that if it's not in high demand, people just might be like, oh, whatever, I don't feel like filling that out or doing it. So there's pros and cons to it, but I think that you have to definitely work on building up the demand and the attention for people to want to take those extra steps in filling something out when it might not be as financially lucrative.
Sure. And we got a RCIV from our sponsor, WGMI. Something to weigh in on this?
Yeah. Thanks for having me up. Thanks for letting me talk a bit. I think another kind of counterpoint to, you know, the application status is when you add a little bit of friction and a little bit of effort into these mints and these whitelist opportunities, you kind of you get a little bit of sticking powder there. So like people like will, you know, jump in, put in this effort, join the community, feel like they're part of something bigger, they'll be less likely to potentially sell after mint. Just something to be kind of aware of. I've been in a couple of these kind of application projects, Discords, and I find that like their churn rate is much lower when you kind of put in a bit of effort and you kind of put yourself out there and what you have to offer.
People are more personally invested. Kix, you have your hand raised. What's going on, buddy?
I totally forgot what I was going to say, but I just wanted to say something that's so funny. I was so appreciative of Signal, like, translating Solana into ETH for me. And I literally found, like, online, there's, like, a Solana to ETH calculator, and I'm literally using it. And I'm like, I feel like such a boomer, you know what I mean? I'm, like, using a calculator to, like, convert it into a language I understand. But I just wanted to shout out Renegade Master, who's in our Discord, great trader. Saw him, just like NFT Nick, just make some big moves on punks at the Pico bottom, made some great trades there, made some great other trades. He went hard on the secondary on Utes, so I think that's pretty bullish.
Wow, okay. And I see Node just raised his hand. Node, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, I was going to riff a little bit off of what Ray said. Just on the whitelist, the application process and all of that, you know, one project that's done it really well is Midnight Labs, which is Giancarlo's project. And it's a similar application process, but it's an invite only. And one thing that I like about that community is if you get accepted, there's things you have to continue to do within the community if you actually want to earn the token. So it's free, right? Like you apply to get in, somebody has to refer you to get into the project. And then once you're in, you have to continue to participate and do things if you want to earn the NFT itself. And then, you know, there's a whole system set up. So I actually really like that model. And it's made me more engaged in their community for sure. Because I'm like, okay, I want to progress, right? So there's this level of progression, which I think is interesting. And so if they implement that more on Utes or anything else, I think that's a really cool kind of dynamic and mechanism for projects to look into.
Yeah, I think if you take a step back and just look at D-Gods, Utes, Dust Labs, there's a tremendous amount of potential. There's a lot to be excited about. They're not going anywhere. The big question is the current floor price of Utes a mistake in the market, or is it, you know, fair value? That's the big question, right? Easy, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I just want to provide some clarity. There's just under 10K minted. I was just tagged by like 1,000 people about it. The other thing that was DM'd to me was that it was a 10% equity in Dust Labs for that seed round. So those are the two metric points that I wanted to kind of call out there.
All right. Thank you for the clarity. Go ahead, Nick.
Sorry, that was the exact number that we specified last night, was 10% estimate on that equity round, which is pretty freaking solid when you consider the fact that, like, they don't have a live SaaS product that's generating revenue. So to raise it a $75 million valuation, excluding DGods, it's fairly mind-boggling to me. Like, I feel like it's an absolute coup, what he pulled off. One other thing I was going to say is I got a DM we all received a DM from somebody, Relic, who said that actually 10,208 have been minted, and that SoulScan goes down after a mint, not up.
Okay, so that they're still not minted out. About, you know, 2/3 are minted out at this point. The real action begins once everything's minted out. It's going to be interesting. We'll also see what announcements come along with it. Over to Cryptopolis, the free mint king. You've been preaching Genuine Undead. What caused this pump on Genuine Undead, Cryptopolis?
Well, I do have some alpha, but before that, I wanted to ask Nick a semi-serious, semi-funny question. Objectively speaking, if we're just talking about art, whose profile picture looks better? Just based on the art, yours or mine?
Well, mine looks better because it's worth more. So that's actually the way that art works. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this marketplace. I've seen a lot of people my God, I can't even get a word out here. I was actually shocked by that question because the audacity to even question which one looks better was actually so ridiculous. But I just wanted to expand on that a bit here. Walk into your local MoMA. Just kidding. There's only two of them. So if you don't live in like New York or San Francisco, I'm sure there's another one somewhere else, but no one cares about those other cities. So what you want to do is you want to walk into that MoMA. Take a look around. What you'll often see is there's canvases. For example, you'll see like a black canvas and it's slightly askew. And that's called black askew. And you may look at that and you may say, what the heck is up with this painting? And I would agree generally just when you take it based on its just visual standing, you say, well, I could have done that, but you didn't. And the reality is that black canvas with nothing else on it just turned slightly to the left. Ever so slightly. You almost thought it was someone had messed up the positioning. They didn't. That was intentional, and that's the art behind it. It's worth, you know, $100,000 or something like that. And the reality is it's great art, and it's great art because it's worth $100,000. I don't know if you recall that banana that someone taped on the wall a couple of years back at Art Basel, and the guy ended up eating that banana off the wall. Everyone was offended by it, but just some of the best art that's ever been seen because it's worth tens of thousands of dollars. Now, when I look at your PFP, it just isn't. And so it's not worth that much, and therefore the art is worse. And so I'd be really interested to see in the future, you know, whether or not that price appreciates to any sort of level that, you know, collectors in the space would view as respectable. But, you know, for now, it's a cool, fun-looking project. And it seems like the artists seem to care about it. So that's what I think is interesting. But it's still kind of, you know, not respected at this point in time, just based on the way that the price is in the market.
Got it. Thank you for that. So what's been happening, it's kind of crazy. There's this collector. He has a project called Meta Winners that raffles like blue chip and high value NFTs. He bought one of the one of ones. There's only seven in the collection, and it's called War. And he actually burnt War. And then they created this narrative that love conquers war because this particular collector also has love. So that generated some interest. And then the Cool Times influencer, or he's got a YouTube show, Twitter, he's featuring General Undead today at 3 p.m. Eastern. And then Crypto Von Doom is also a advisor, and he's been in the spaces, and he's really interested in helping the community. So that's all I could say. I'm not saying it's a buy signal, but that's, I think, what's been happening with the project and why it's been doing really well.
Okay. And you said
breaking
that you
news,
have a
Genuine Undead is a high buy according to the NFT morning show.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's a high buy. I'm just telling you why it's pumped. And I personally think with this show, the Cool Times guy, you know, I was researching him a little bit. He did call D-Gods at three, three soul. I mean, Genuine Undead is not a D-God similar project, but I mean, him being on the show, I think it could pump more during the show. I do have a play of the day. I mean,
let's go.
It was a free mint. It's at 0.01 right now. I'm not saying to buy it either, but it's interesting. It's called Master Cats NFT. And the reason I think it's interesting is there's an innovation where each NFT has 9 different NFTs in it by 9 different artists. So whatever version is revealed, the reveal happens in like 12 hours or something. Whatever version you get, there's going to be 9 versions of it from 9 different artists. And I think that's interesting. I think it's below 0.01 right now. Master Cats NFT.
Okay, and so it looks like there's 8,100 of them, but it says there's going to be 9K. So is this thing still minting?
No, the team, and by the way, the spaces sounded bullish, like these guys are OGs. They reserve some for themselves and partnerships. They're trying to go after like NBA players or franchise owners. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but they want to partner with some like ballers, and that's, I think, why they're reserved. But it is minted out, yeah.
Okay, it's minted out. Yeah, I see it here on OpenSea. There's 40 Ethereum of secondary volume. Last sale was 17 minutes ago. Volume is not unbelievable. It looks like 128 sales today, 450 yesterday, almost 4,000. Okay, so I mean, like, it's moved a decent amount for a free mint, and it looks like the floor is at 0.01. If you're trying to operate in the lower end of the market, this could be a play. Who the hell knows? Ladies and gentlemen, reminder to retweet the tweet that's pinned at the top and follow WGMI.io, who is today's sponsor. We're going to be diving into that shortly. Going to be getting in the mix. Just to kind of, you know, cap off, excuse me, the rest of the NFT market, the top 10 on OpenSea looks pretty weird. Spencer pointed out that the Takashi Murakami CloneX sneaker, not the one that the hosts of this show bought, which is the lower tier one, but rather the higher end one, which apparently will have a supply capped at 180 total, has 2x'd from a whopping 5 ETH floor to begin with to towards 10 Ethereum. It looks like right now it's at 7.7 Ethereum. So the big monster win was that one, probably because of the limited supply. That's pretty nuts. I'm going to rotate speakers. I see Mr. Long NFT requesting, and I know Mr. Long usually does a little bit of a Discord roundup. I don't know if that is exactly why he wanted to come on today. Mr. Long, are you there? He's not there yet. We'll wait for him. Just interrupt me, Mr. Long.
Oh, yeah, it says connecting right now.
Got it. For me, it says that he's unmuted, so that's the difference there. The other thing is Renga by Dirty Robot, a project that was discussed last week. The profile picture ended up coming out. You can burn the box for it. The floor price on the profile picture was 0.3. So when we were buying and selling this collection, it was between 0.55 and 0.65. It's had quite the fall since then. Nick, what do you make of that?
Well, I was out of it. Was that the one that we bought live on air?
We bought it live on air.
I dumped those because how many black boxes can one buy? It's not that low, though. I mean, it's still 0.57. I think we got the boxes at
0.57. That's the premium on the lottery aspect of it. The profile,
I see what you're saying,
0.3.
I mean, seems like the, you know, a fair, so almost 2x for playing the lottery. I guess it makes sense. I mean, I don't know what the upside is of owning one of these PFPs, but I think that it is interesting nonetheless. The other one that had a lot of action would be 10KTF, which had the flamethrowers released yesterday. And I'd be interested in what the combat crates. Those have been doing decently. They're currently at 0.74, which I think you could have bought, or actually, no, it looks, well, 0.735. You could have bought those. What was the mint price? 0.65?
Yeah, they're up a little bit.
So you're up a little bit on that one.
After fees, probably even.
But here's the deal. If you got one of those flamethrowers in your combat crate, you got 2.5 ETH. So that's like a completely different scenario in terms of the lottery. Now, I don't know the other items that have shown up in the combat crates, but if you manage to get one of those, that seems to be a huge move. Ben, did you pick up any of these? Because all I saw yesterday was people posting their apes and a couple other items on their flamethrower. I don't understand the logic in terms of how I get into this without me spending a bunch of money.
Yeah, I think I had 4 combat crates, and I revealed 2 of them. I might have 4 or 5 and revealed 2 or 3, but I didn't like my bag of balls or the balls within the soccer.
The doorknobs?
Yeah, the doorknobs. But there definitely is some, like, RNG gambling when you're messing with the crates. Like, you can reveal and get, you know, a floor that's cheaper than the crate, but you can get lucky and get one of the more rare ones where you can sell, like Nick was saying, for like a 2-3x or so. But I like those kind of plays. I think it's cool, but I also like that you can craft them and then use them in missions. It's just there's so many different values to pay attention of, like, the crate, then you have the blanks, and then you have the materials, and you have the ones that you do forge, and you get bonuses for, like, if you have the doorknobs and then you forge your NFT on it, you get bonuses for sending the NFT and the crafted 10KTF item into battle together, as long as they're the same one. So there's a lot to follow, but it's definitely a really interesting project.
I don't get what, like, the outcome, like, what the end point of this is. Like, so I'm assuming everyone believes that they're going to be rewarded. I will say this project's been way more active than Murat Pak, which is the other artist that tried to add gamification but failed miserably. 10K
in my opinion, yeah, in my opinion, not even comparable. Go
yeah,
ahead.
It's a rug. But basically, 10KTF, they've done incredible development with this. What I don't understand is, like, I ended up selling, like, leather last week, and I think some other, like, a blank cloth or something like that. And the only reason was, I don't understand how to add all these different things together and what it ends up with. That said, it sounds like on September 8th, according to Beeple, and someone had posted and tagged me in the Discord yesterday, there's going to be some announcement, and a lot of people are speculating that this has to do with the Mecha. I don't know if it's the Mecha Apes, but the Mechas. And so it's not clear what's going on there. But this also, I do think, would align with kind of what Bored Ape Yacht Club had on their original timeline. Correct me if I'm wrong. So I'm just wondering if there's, you know, some big thing coming around the corner here on that front. And I'm wondering if that's how, you know, one of the areas where all this effort that people have put in is going to actually materialize.
There's a lot of speculation behind it, and the ties between the Mechas to 10KTF goes through Gaio Siri's involvement, but also they're building out lore. You know, they've been telling stories, they've been introducing you to different characters, telling you how things are kind of building up. And so there's also speculation behind like real world physical items, like maybe you get a real pair of shoes or a backpack. But also the speculation, like the apes and, you know, potential animations and tying in other projects and stuff like that, definitely keeps those thoughts alive. But I agree with you. It's a little overcomplicated, and you definitely have to follow along and pay attention more so than most other projects. But I think that's a good thing, you know, that for especially for the space and for the collectors, and that they're constantly engaging, they're constantly innovating and doing new things. And, you know, we don't always have to know all the details to be engaged with it.
Fair take. Signal has her hand raised. Signal, what's going on?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say with 10KTF, one of the rumors going around, which is that 10KTF is the other side of other side. So if you actually look at when they did the trailer 2 weeks ago, you saw like the blue coders, but there were also red coders. So we know that there is an other side, literally to the other side, and people think it could be 10KTF. But aside from 10KTF stuff, what I wanted to talk about is an old project, which I really think people should have more on their radar now, because Guttercat Gang has been literally a stable coin since last year. Like, they came out pretty much at the same time of Apes. Their floor price has just held steady. Everybody knows that it's like a legitimate company building. And what's interesting about that is they have their gang token coming out soon. And the same company that is doing the tokenomics for ApeCoin are also doing the tokenomics for Guttercat. Now, we don't have insight what Gutter, the token, will do yet within the ecosystem, but there's several different entry points across the pigeons, the rats, the cats, the dogs. And so I would say if you want to have a project on your timeline between now and the end of the year, something that potentially could go up more in value, I would definitely look at Guttercat Gang.
I like the take, Signal, and there's opportunities to get in lower with some of the you know, collections underneath the cats. Let's throw to Spencer, and then we're going to dive into our sponsored spot today. Spencer, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say a last thing on 10KTF, and you mentioned this too, PO, is that I actually think about 10KTF in relation to Artifact a lot, because they're both kind of companies that started with digital wearables as a concept. They went the derivatives route, whereas Artifact was sort of bringing in artists to do their own. But then if you look at like 10KTF and what they've ultimately become, it's a story. It's like they have story crafted and built a narrative in a way that I think few others have. And if the question is, what is it all building towards? There's a lot of like relation to, you know, potential relation to other side, as we've talked about. But also, I think on its own, the narrative that they've built, the story of the kaiju attacking the town with, you know, Wagmi-san and Wenmoon, like these are some of the most recognizable characters in the individual characters in the zeitgeist of just story of NFTs. And so I think the people's confidence in that project has a lot to do with, like, if you think story is the predominant thing that will drive IP, it's hard to argue to me that anyone else has done story, even Goblin Town as well as 10KTF has. And so then the question is, and this is something that I've been sort of wondering more and more, but how is ownership of the NFTs in the story tied to the story itself? And we've seen through their sort of pseudo-participatory narrative, but I think that there's still like that something extra that we're waiting for from that project to really show the full potential. And I hope that comes soon. It looks like it might.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's no-brainer the leader in terms of story, and I appreciate bringing Goblin Town into the conversation, but I would ask, like, what is the story of Goblin Town? Like, I don't know what the story of Goblin Town is, and maybe we're going to find out soon, but like, there's a real story with 10KTF. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk to WGMI.io, today's sponsor. Retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow WGMI.io, the market monitoring software product, but we're going to learn a lot more about it. It's a lot more than just that. Let's dive right in. Gentlemen, thanks for coming. Thanks for sponsoring the show. Let's talk about WGMI.
GM, everyone, thanks for having us on. Really happy to be here. Great show so far. So really excited today to talk about our upcoming newsfeed launch and the beta NFT release that goes along with it. Figure I'll start off, just give a brief background of kind of myself and the site, and then hand it over to Brendan, who's on our WGMI.io Twitter account now, to talk a little bit more about the newsfeed. But for those who have been in the space for over a year, WGMI was kind of the first, most accurate, and most customizable portfolio tracker in the space. It's used by a number of high-profile DAOs, funds, and collectors. When I first got into the space, you know, first quarter of last year, there really wasn't an easy way to keep track of all of your assets in your portfolio. I know everyone kind of had the same problem, you know, a lot of OpenSea tabs open, trying to keep track of projects and spreadsheets, trying to keep track of just activity across all of the projects you own. And I mean, OpenSea didn't even display the floor price for projects on their site, you know, going back to like June, July of last year. So WGMI's, you know, initial free dashboard was pushed in July of last year, and then July 16th of 2021 was when our free site, or our premium site, launched. So we've been around for over a year at this point. You know, our approach and mindset from the start has really been, you know, trying to keep our eyes and ears open to the gaps, pain points, and other problems that exist in the space without good solutions. and trying to do our best to build around them. You know, with a lot of our releases, a lot of our features, we tried to focus mostly on speed and minimum viable products, trying to get products to market as fast as possible while kind of having our own plans for iteration, but allowing our users to get their hands on them, to provide feedback and really help dictate the direction we take them as we move forward. So we kind of took that approach here for Newsfeed as well. Brennan, who, as I said, is on our WGMI account, he came to us with this idea of a newsfeed a few months ago, and we ended up bringing him on board full-time as our Director of Strategy and Operations, and excited to pass it over to him now to talk a little bit more about that.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks, Tom. So, yeah, I'll just kind of touch on a few points, and certainly happy to answer any questions or get any perspective from the rest of the folks here on stage, but yeah, we envision Newsfeed as, you know, along with the portfolio tool, like a single source of information to bring the quantitative and qualitative data together to make the best decisions around your NFT portfolio. One of the key benefits we see is the ability to save time. I took a shotgun approach when I entered into the space, kind of invested in, you know, well over 200 collections. I can't even have that many Discords. Just was spending a ton of time trying to keep up on all the different projects. We did a recent Twitter poll. It showed the vast majority of our 13,000 plus followers were spending more than 3 hours a day keeping up with the projects that they either hold or were following. All the financial metrics around your holdings and the performance of the projects you hold in your portfolio across the wallets can be seen in one place. And in the future, we're going to be having all the news there as well. So user will be able to spend less time jumping from one Discord to another or trying to follow every project on Twitter. The way we envision this is to not replace Discord or Twitter. Instead, we want to save our users time, allow them to dive deeper into the particular communities and conversations that they're most passionate about while we keep them up to date on all their other holdings. That's really what I think people want, to be able to dive into those communities that they care most about.
When I think about it, it's like at the end of the day, it was only going to be a matter of time before somebody really focused on this problem in the market, which is that, you know, obviously there's a lot of people that are full-time NFT market participants, and that's great. I think the market needs that, but there's also a lot of people that actually have day jobs, they have families, they have lives, but they still like to participate in the market. Then a lot of those full-time participants end up building in the NFT ecosystem, so then they become busy, you know, running businesses in NFTs, and I'm sure you all can relate to that since you're running your business. There needed to be something that provided some sort of automation toward monitoring all of the different quote-unquote ecosystems that people would be in. So that's kind of the core concept of the newsletter, right? So like, for example, we were talking about 10KTF just a little while ago, and a lot of people, their sort of quote-unquote complaint with 10KTF is the amount of attention that it requires to be able to fully take advantage of it. Even if you are a holder, like you could hold $25,000, $50,000 worth of 10KTF assets, but in order to actually maximize the quote-unquote value that you get out of being a 10KTF holder, you had to actually participate and basically meet deadlines. It was like you have to send your folks into battle by this time. So that's the core concept of the newsletter, right? To provide automation surrounding that and make it really, really easy for people to manage several collections that they're invested in, right?
That's spot on, PO. Yeah, and that's kind of the other big benefit you touched on a little bit there is to never miss another claim or opportunity because there's so much noise in the space. We are kind of like the signal and the noise. We will give you the news specific to your portfolio. We have your portfolio information on our site. We know what your holdings are. So we're only going to deliver the relevant, actionable news for you. A month or so ago, you know, many Bored Apes missed out on a step-in claim. This was an unofficial opportunity. So this wouldn't have come directly from a team Discord or announcement, but another project gave this opportunity. And this claim hit a 3 ETH floor at one point. And it was surprising that a lot of Bored Apes, who are some of the most involved and engaged collectors in the ecosystem, missed out on this. And another great example is 10KTF. We were just talking about them before, but you know they dropped free combat crates for anyone that completed every past mission. I've been involved in 10KTF, you know, kind of since the beginning, but I only completed, I think, 6 of the 8 missions. So I missed out on that just because, again, heads down, building, and it's hard to keep track of everything. In the future, we have our 10KTF curator, Matoshi. She's an expert on the ecosystem, and we'll be kind of creating these updates, pushing them to you, so you'll be able to see everything you need to know and make sure that you're not missing out on these opportunities.
I see Epic. Nick has his hand up. Yeah, Nick has his hand up because he remembers missing that step and claim.
Yeah, that, I mean, that was one of them, obviously. But I'm wondering, two fronts. So one, can I add multiple wallets to this? Because I have two wallets that has items sitting in it. And then maybe just start with that one.
Absolutely. So same as our portfolio tool, it's multi-wallet. You know, if you have 10 different wallets, a hot wallet, different vault wallets, all those will be included in your portfolio, and you'll be served the news across all your wallets.
Okay. And then the second, well, it's more of an question / observation. How do you scale this when, so it seems like, I mean, right now, a lot of the areas, it's, you know, there's maybe a couple dozen projects that have these relevant claims that showed up with the Steppen one is a great example where I missed out on a lot of money, and a lot of our listeners were really disappointed about that. But the real thing that I'm wondering about is, like, how do you determine which of these projects you're monitoring, or just for, like, as you go down the long tail of projects, are you basically just subscribing to Discord updates for those? Like, how do you manage that? Or is that just based on the people who are members of this product is essentially what's driving it?
Yeah. So a couple pieces there. So the data, you know, we hire a curator for each ecosystem. So like the Bored Ape ecosystem, the 10KTF, and they'll cover all the data for the collections around that. So these are folks that are those deep, passionate fans of a particular ecosystem, and they will be curating that data and, you know, kind of distilling it down to really what's important and actionable for holders, and then getting that on the tool. We're launching with 15 or 16 initial ecosystems covering more than 50 collections, and we'll be adding 10 to 15 every month as we build this out. So our, you know, if we're looking at volume, what our holders own, what teams are building the most as far as which projects that we add next into the news feed. So this is not just scraping Discords or Twitter, but it's really taking all the information, AMAs, what's going on in the community, unofficial sources as well, you know, and again, getting the most important kind of the TLDR for each of those projects.
Love it.
You hear that? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, this is definitely something we've been trying to figure that out as well, because we end up missing a bunch of information. So for us to have info that we miss out on, because that, it's incredible utility to be able to say, hey, here's what action you need to take. And that's a problem that I actually tweeted the other morning, which was like my favorite part of NFTs buying this expensive thing for the utility and then completely missing the opportunity to make a claim over that utility, which is just like, how the hell was I supposed to know this? I mean, I will say there's also another solution to this, which is called email lists. Now, that's a recent innovation, but none of the projects seem to have any interest in doing that. So it would be really cool if some of these teams enabled me to just subscribe to a newsletter. And more importantly, I'm wondering, do you think that that's something that inevitably is going to happen here?
I think as far as the newsletters, like for me, I don't want 250 newsletters if I'm, you know, invested in 250 different projects. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of times the official news and the official channels and announcements in a lot of Discords, you know, sometimes 70% of that is really not what I'm interested in. I'm not as interested in if there's a movie night or something going on in the Discord. If I was passionate about that one community, that may make sense. But as a holder across the lot, I really just want that TLDR and what do I really need to take action on for individual ones. And we have the ability to allow our users to select individual tags by project of what they want to see. So some projects that are lower down on my list, I may only want to see if there's a claim that I need to take or a specific utility, but I don't necessarily want the news or other things around that project. So users can select by particular project what information they're going to see and have it all in one place.
The rumors, we'll be too. Enabling,
yeah, the rumors, Benjamin, that's exactly. So you know, official channels are not going to give you things. If there's a project that's at risk of being a rug or there's concerns out there, if you're just looking at official news, you may miss out on opportunity to exit that project before, you know, problems hit. Hopefully that's not the case, but we all know that that happens. And having kind of people that are other holders in the ecosystem delivering that news gives you the best chance to stay ahead of those things.
I mean, no question there's a need for this in the market. Node always has really good questions, and I saw he had his hand raised. Node, was there something you wanted to chime in on?
Well, Nick basically asked it, but I just wanted to say I'm a big fan, right? Like, so I've been using WGMI for like a year. They're awesome. And I love the way they're going about it from the curator standpoint, just because, like, first off, it's very Web3. You know what I mean? Like, that people just... It's like if somebody wanted to be a curator, they talk to them, right? Like they reach out. And so there's opportunities for more people to come in if they're super passionate about a project that's gaining momentum and whatever. And obviously they're smart to start off with. They have a user base. They know exactly, you know, what everybody holds that uses their product. So they're starting off, you know, prioritizing that, which makes perfect sense. And then, you know, as soon as there's other projects that have a lot of momentum and that has a lot of demand, like a new curator can come up. So I like that they're doing it using humans. I know there's other people out there trying to make this product, but trying to do it with like an API or trying to get the projects themselves to like feed information to a platform. And I just don't see it. I don't see it working. So I think what they've put together, I think it's going to work really well.
The human touch is what makes it actually, like, you know, unique and dope. Go ahead, Nick.
Well, there's two sites that I use. One is called TechMeme. The other one is Memorandum. And that's what they had found like years ago, basically, was that you end up needing an editor on staff. You can have, I'll say AI assisted, but it wasn't even AI. It's just, you know, computer assisted editorial, but you still need the human element in it. And I did notice from one of your updates, because I saw, I don't know if it was on your newsfeed Twitter account, where the update from Azuki yesterday, I think, was what I saw. And it did seem like, you know, you had an actual writer who was writing that rather than it coming from just the Azuki Discord and just reposting one of their announcements. It was basically saying, hey, here's what you need to know. And from that standpoint, I mean, I have notifications on for that account just because I'm also just... from an editorial standpoint, interested in how you all decide to approach those things. But it is fascinating. Is there an email subscription option for your service?
And real quick, before you guys answer that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to keep talking about WGMI.io. I want to hear from Ben. I want to have them answer Nick's question. I just want to let you know, you got 1 minute to retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and to follow WGMI.io. 1 minute from now, I'm going to draw the winners and I'm going to start inviting them to the stage. So if you get an invite from me, right, if you're listening right now and you're like, all right, I retweeted and I followed, if you get an invite from me, that means that you won. So come on stage when I invite you, everybody. And sorry, guys, go ahead and answer Nick's question, please.
Yeah, so during our beta period, over the next, you know, a couple of months, we will be also setting up push notifications. So again, you'll be able to choose which projects and what type of information you want pushed to you. And we're looking at options that will allow email, text, or other kind of Web3 type options. So we're looking at those tools right now and finding the best one that will allow users to opt in, in the best way for them.
Epic. Love it. Yeah, I mean, some people will want email, some people won't, right? Like, I don't want email myself, right? I'd rather have it on the platform.
But that's also a generational thing, right? Like, that's the issue that I think a lot of people face is, you know, as someone who's also spent an additional decade sort of developing efficiency and, really, really optimizing for that, you know, email becomes an integral component of one's daily workflow.
There you go. Ben, you had raised your hand. Do you have a question for the squad?
Yeah, I was actually going to ask about the push notifications, but they covered that. And I was also going to say to Nick, when he was talking about like someone, you know, manually writing about an announcement, not just reposting the announcement, kind of reminds me of like sports teams beat writing, where if you're familiar with following sports news, you'll have someone like for a basketball team, or even a few people who, you know, go to the games, they go to the practices, they talk to the coaches, they write up their notes and then they post it on something like, you know, CBS Sportsline or Roto World or something, where they will summarize injury updates and different events and things that are going on. So I think it's really cool to be able to have something like that for NFT projects from people who are not just involved daily in the projects as collectors, but also, you know, volunteer to curate because how passionate they are and they want to write about it. And with that said, is there going to be any kind of incentivizations for people who volunteer so that they don't just get tired of providing all this information for their love of the game?
Yeah, so all of our all of our curators are compensated. We have a tiered compensation system based on some metrics, you know, ownership of the project, action, volume, kind of the complexity, some different qualitative and quantitative tiers we put them in. And I wanted to talk a bit about kind of the contributors in general. You know, I kind of went hunting for them, stalking them, finding them across all different mediums, bugging them, bringing them in for our first round. If it sounds like something you're interested in, like as a listener, if it sounds like something that you would, you know, you're an expert of an ecosystem or you might have a broad knowledge of the market, definitely apply. You can visit our site, WGMI.io, and there's a contributor button at the top. It'll take you to our GitBook page. And, you know, we're accepting, you know, all applications, looking at everybody, trying to, you know, find the best of the best in this space to continue to grow and scale. And like we said, this is compensated. We want to reward those who are kind of consuming and creating content. Give a little bit back to the community as opposed to, you know, extracting as much value as possible. We feel like when we put money into these super fans' hands who are, you know, these project experts, you know, their first move may be, hey, I'm going to invest this back into my project. Just a bit on kind of our ethos there and kind of a nudge. If you guys have this interest, definitely, you know, sign up, apply, and, you know,
Ray,
we're taking
that,
a look at all those.
Is that an ETH or USDC, or are you guys doing like a WGMI token?
Yeah, right. Just announce a token right now. So we're finalizing the exact payment method. The on the contributor Gitbook, there are ETH denominations. It'll likely be in USDC based on kind of the price of ETH at the beginning of the month and kind of stay within a range that is, you know, competitive and makes sense for everybody. We want to make sure that, you know, our contributors are being taken care of and, you know, compensated properly for the work they're doing as, you know, they're providing the value here. You know, the value isn't the news. It's having it all in one place, you know, with that human curation.
Yeah. So for anybody that's interested in working in Web3, you want to get paid in USDC. You just do, in my opinion. I've seen both sides of it. And you want to get paid in USDC so that you treat it like a job and it's consistent. So I've drawn five winners and three out of the five are already on stage, which is epic. So it looks like Dib the Great, Metazet, Lonely Gutter, Atomic Neb, and Rohit Jaggi are the winners. We got three out of five on stage, so we'll play the celebratory music shortly and we'll hear from our winners. We're just waiting for two more, and if the other two don't come, then we are going to draw two more.
I see two speakers. Who's the third? I see Atomic Neb and I see Dib the Great.
The other person came on. I think they got rugged, so I'm just going to DM them. And so that's actually, well, yeah, we're
I
good.
See
we
two
got
others.
Yeah, we got all the speakers, but I really wanted to like touch on what WGMI I just said. Then we'll play the celebration music and talk to the speakers. It'll be a great time. But like a lot of people talk about wanting to work in Web3. A lot of people ask me if we're hiring and ask me for different things. The thing is like a lot of times in Web3, you kind of have to be doing the job before you have the job. And I feel like the way that you guys are looking for people to work with you, there's a ton of people that are already doing that job because there's a ton of people that are actually participating in the NFT market trying to make money. And in turn, they spend a lot of time researching. They share their research with other people. They bounce their theses off of other people. And they end up, you know, like doing the stuff that you're talking about. I just want to reinforce, like, there's an opportunity here for people to make extra money working in Web3. And once that snowball starts, like, once you start making a little bit of extra money a month and all of a sudden you're actually paid to spend time on this stuff, and even though it's only a little bit of extra money at first, then the snowball starts getting bigger and you start making more relationships. Before you know it, it's your full-time gig, so that's like one of the best. I mean, look, the software is great, obviously, like from what we're talking about, and it solves a problem, which is the number one thing you need for a business to succeed. But I just absolutely love that, and I didn't want that to be kind of like, you know, just glazed over, you know?
That's definitely a great point. And actually, so for this beta sale, so the kind of the allow list is on Thursday, public on Friday, more than 50% of those proceeds are going to go to fund this contributor economy. Giving folks the ability to really monetize things that they're already doing. They're already passionate fans of a particular ecosystem. They're out there talking about it on Twitter. They're active in the Discords, but now they get to monetize that in a way. And it's really a way during this kind of bear market to keep more of these passionate folks, you know, collectors that really care in the ecosystem, helping them generate some additional income to your point. So yeah, that's probably the thing I'm most excited about everything is really the contributor economy that we're building.
I'm most excited about the tool itself. I'm kind of onboarding our curators into the test network, seeing all these updates roll in, and it's, you know, keeping me updated on things that I own already, which is, I'm drawing a bit of benefit already. I can't wait to kind of release this out to the public. I think it's so needed and, you know, so beneficial as anybody in more than a handful of projects.
Absolutely. No question about it. So obviously there's a ton of great stuff here to talk about. Some of our winners got rugged, ended up just DMing them. So no one slipped through the cracks. No one's going to be mad at me, which is awesome. But to the winners on stage, how do you feel right now? We got MetaZet.eth, we got Atomic Neb, and we got Mwad the Great. How do you feel now that you're going to have access to this kick-ass software?
Yes, let's go.
Super pumped.
I feel pretty awesome.
Heck yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Welcome, welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, once again, the sponsor of today's show was WGMI.io. Really, really great software product with some other great initiatives that are designed around actually propping up the NFT space versus extracting value. You know, before we wrap here, gentlemen, you know, anything else that people should know about WGMI.io?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, we have a number of allow lists going on right now. So all of the collections that we're launching with those ecosystems, if you own something in there, you have a chance to get on the allow list. That's all on our Twitter account. And that allow list sale will happen on Thursday. It's not only an allow list, it's a discounted mint as well. And then whatever's remaining will go to public on Friday. And anybody that does have a beta access pass, our beta season will run from, you know, kind of Thursday until the end of December. But they will have guaranteed minting and a 30% discount on our season one launch. So each of the all access passes will be for a season. Going forward, we expect this to probably be a 6-month season, but you'll be, if you own that beta access pass, you'll get, again, guaranteed minting and a 30% discount on season one. So definitely excited about that and getting in early. You know, we've always taken care of our users and that'll always be the case.
Epic. Well, new software, new business models, Web3, opportunity to work in Web3. What a jam. Well, I can't wait to use the software. And I, like Node was talking about, several people have been using it for a while that I know. So, you know, really excited to kind of bring it into my workflow. And thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, WGMI.io. This is a classic record by Jadakiss, as Nick calls him. Not Jadakiss, but Jadakiss. And this is an
oldie. Excuse me?
This is an oldie but a goodie that we used to play all the time on this show.